Joe Nesbø is a best-selling Norwegian author and musician. He was born in Oslo and graduated from the Norwegian School of Economics. Nesbø is famous around the world for his crime novels, but he's also famous as a singer and songwriter for the Norwegian rock band Didere, and as a children's writer. The Redbreast, book three of the series, had been voted Norway's greatest crime novel of all time by Norwegian Public Broadcasting. Phantom is the ninth Harry Hole novel, and we'll speak to Joe today about Harry, his genuine anti-hero, who, as described, was both the most competent detective of the Oslo police force and the worst civil servant. Welcome, Joe. It's such an honor to have you with us on the book report.
Well, thanks.
Harry Hole. I know. Emma, did I say it right?
Yeah.
Okay, but with your permission, I'm going to call him Harry Hole. When you wrote Harry in The Bat, the book one, did you know that he would be in so many of your novels?
I didn't even know it was going to get published because it was my first attempt at writing a novel. So I figured that, you know, it would get turned down by any publishing house. And hopefully I would get some letters saying that, we see some talent here. So please send us the next thing you're writing. So for me, it was just an attempt at writing a novel. So I thought that, you know, the easy way out is probably to write a crime novel. So I named him Harry Hole, and to my surprise, it was published. But it probably wasn't until I started writing the third book that I knew I was going to have Harry around for a long time.
When you write a character, a recurring character, at your off moments, does he walk down the street in your head?
No, he doesn't. He's a character of fiction, and I don't confuse reality and fiction. But of course, it is a universe that is very real to me. I mean, it is sort of a universe where I can go in and close the door, and then it's sort of a alternative reality to me. But up until now, I'm getting older, but up until now, I haven't confused the two worlds.
What interests you the most about Harry?
I think it's the fact that he's not a guy that you can rely on to make the right moral choices, and like any of us. And interesting to me as a writer, the interesting thing about the series is that I can give him these moral dilemmas. And I'm not even sure myself what choice he is going to make, even though I've known him now for 13 years. He can have a good day and a bad day. In the end, though, I hope that he has made more right choices than wrong choices.
It seems like, you know, Harry tries to do the right thing, but yet it also seems like he's destined to lead an unhappy life.
Well, he does have his inner demons. I think that, you know, most interesting stories are crime stories, are not about whether the murderer is going to get caught or not, or who did it, although that is important, of course. It's also about the eternal soul of the main character, as in any other story. It's, is his eternal soul going to heaven or hell? And that has to do with the moral choices he's making.
You wrote Follow the Hate. I've always read Follow the Money, or the French say Cherchez la Femme, but you wrote Follow the Hate. How does it figure in this book?
Well, I think to find the motive for murders, you have to look for extreme emotions, and I think that hate is the flip side of love. There was a famous Norwegian author who once said that the only things worth writing about is love and murder, and he was not a crime writer. So I think that hate is probably what you're looking for, or what you there's a sign that there's something going on when you can sense strong emotions in people, and that's one of Harry's gifts, that it can sense those emotions in people.
Okay, now I know you also write children's books featuring one amazing character, the eccentric Dr. Proctor, and the man who invented the world's most powerful fart powder,
Love him. Tell us about him.
Well, he was an invention that that came about one summer when my daughter, she would always ask me to tell her stories. And this particular summer, she asked me to tell a story. And she would always get to, you know, pick characters that would be in the stories. So she wanted a potato and a dinosaur. And a girl, pretty much like herself, and she was afraid of boys at the time, but she wanted a boy in the story, but he had to be smaller than the girl. And then I asked if we could have a mad professor in there, and she was okay with that. And then I asked her if we could have farting in the story, and she was not okay with that. And then I said, can we have a little farting in the story? And she said, okay, daddy. And so I started, you know, telling the story about Dr. Proctor and his two friends. They live in the same street, and he's this, you know, not very successful inventor. He has invented all kind of useless stuff, including a fart powder, which was actually meant to make people not fart in, you know, parties and funerals and stuff like that. So, but he got it wrong. So it's a strong farting powder. He can't sell it to anyone. Nobody has use for that. But then the little boy, he comes up with a marketing plan that you can sell this to all the kids before our 4th of July.
Back to your adult novel. You've said that Redbreast was actually the story your father wanted to tell. Tell us about that.
Well, it was in 1940. Norway was occupied by the Germans. And after that, you know, the young men in Norway, they had three choices. It was either to flee to England to join the Allies. You could join the resistance movement, although it wasn't a big resistance movement in 1940 for the first couple of years. Or, as my father did, because Norway has border to Russia. And at the time, he figured that, you know, Europe had the choice between two strong men, Hitler or Stalin. And he came from, he and my grandparents, they had just arrived back in Norway after having lived in Brooklyn, New York for many years. They came with a strong anti-communist attitude, and so my father joined the Germans to fight the Russians on the border or just outside Leningrad. So he was in the trenches there for during the war, got injured. And when I grew up, the stories that my father told me from the trenches, they became the backbone for the novel The Redbreast, which is about young Norwegian men making different choices.
Martin Scorsese has signed on to produce or direct The Snowman. What is that like for you?
Well, I'm a big Martin Scorsese fan, so having him involved in that project is, of course, just amazing. I mean, as a student, I had the poster of Taxi Driver over my bed, so that's just amazing.
Are you still in the band?
I am. We don't record any longer. We are still playing gigs during summer, just festivals, you know, few enough gigs so that we stay friends. We may record a couple of songs next year. We are talking about that, but by now it's just for fun. We used to do this full time, but now it's just for fun.
And are you still the songwriter?
I am. You know, the rest of the guys, they are just useless as songwriters. So it's they leave it up to me.
All right. Tell us about the Harry Hole Foundation.
That was a foundation that I decided I was, this was back, yeah, 3-4 years ago. I received a banknote in my, in the post, you know, that told me how much money I had. And I figured it was a bit too much. So I figured that it's probably time to pay back. And through my travels, I learned that probably the one thing that was most important for other countries in third world countries to get to the standard of living to get to the level where the rest of the, at least Western world is, they need to develop democracies. And in order to do that, they need to be able to read and write, to orientate themselves about, you know, candidates and what the world is all about. So the foundation is giving money to or fighting illiteracy in third world countries.
What's your next project?
Right now, I'm writing a standalone thriller called The Sun that'll probably and hopefully be published in 2014.
Readers, Phantom is one fabulous page-turning book. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Okay.